Next question. Without looking, what color are your shoes?
Brown.
Okay. I guess that's not brown. I don't know. Okay.
That's gray.
Ah, okay. Okay. What's my name?
Tom.
Tom. Okay. What if that was my middle name, though? That would be interesting.
Cruz.
Cruz. How many questions is that so far? That
three,
was sir. Three. You lose. Okay, so that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. I'll get a drink later. I would have had two drinks already at this point. But we can continue. We can continue playing, right? If you got that one wrong, my immediate reaction then would be to go, "Oh, you won. You got me." Right? Have I ever played this game with you before? No. Right?
No.
That's your answer, and then you lose again. Right? So even if she says, how many questions have I said so far? She'll go, 8. And you'll go, ah, shit, you got me. And she's like, yeah, like, just celebrating, you know? Oh, it's the funniest thing in the world. This is what happened at the last boot camp.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I got it. And I was like, oh, man, have I played that with you before? And he's like, no. He's so proud. So proud of being like, no, you haven't. I got it. I really won. And I was like, that was the 5th question. You lost.
And I was like,
no! Because you're in the middle of celebrating, you know? It's just so funny. That's one of my favorite games to play. I've won kegs of beer off of that. Just so many beers when I used to drink beer, you know? I would just Guinness after Guinness after Guinness. I would go out one night with no money, and I'd come back drunk. Sometimes I'd come back drunk with money. Because I'd win money, too. I'd be like, okay, let's bet $5 or something, you know, on other things. Or if you can do this thing, they're like, if you can do that, I'll give you $10 or $20 or something. You know, so... Anyway, there's a lot of little games like that. I wanna come up with a product. Maybe you guys can help create this. Maybe you guys can create this instead of me doing it, so you guys can like put your name on something too, which would be really fun. A book of like proposition bets or games to play, mm-hmm. like attraction games. Mm-hmm. That'd be a really cool book. You know,
I think we started that.
I think we did.
LA boot camp.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have some notes.
Attraction games would be good because a whole bunch of these things I learned how to play that. You just pick a couple and you go out and you learn how to do them really well and then you go do them.
Yeah.
And whenever you get bored or stuck with something and nothing's working and you can't push it forward, you play a game, you know? So, anyway, does that kind of help you get over the couple little speed bumps you had there?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. And they're really fun, too. And I get a free drink out of it, which is really nice. okay, cool. Alberto?
During the day, I just could... approach and ask for the direction or the time. So, but it was already better because I was on the main street.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in corner.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So you took
it a step
out there.
It
yeah.
was a step. So, mm-hmm. Okay. And during the night, then I also was with I had a, I think, a very interesting moment with Brad. So I had to get to his height, you know. So I there was like a step. So then we were speaking together. Maybe that helped, you know, because then I was as tall as him. As him,
uh-huh, yes.
So no, but and then he told me about the your hands to speak with the hands,
yeah,
and to make gestures and so on, and to take space, take room, and that really there I noticed really that it helped me a lot after that. Because
yeah.
after that, then I really. Approached a few girls and groups and so on, and it really helped. And then I also noticed that I started having fun, really. And
have you ever had fun in a club or a bar before like that?
No,
never in your life.
No.
This is. I hope that this will stay with you forever. I know it will. But this is the moment I really love. This is why I do this, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is why all of us do this.
Telling Josh about it this morning.
Yeah. There's like that moment when you realize that the world isn't against you.
Yeah.
That it's just something that you're doing that you can control your emotions, you know?
And like you said before, when you once came in somewhere, it was like... also, I also felt a little bit like that, so that I was looking at the guys there, at everybody, and I could like say, he's... he's doing this right, he's doing this wrong.
Yeah.
And also
yeah.
see why this is working, because he behaves like that, so that's working, and also you then also see who is sharking, or you see all those
yeah.
all those things, all the body language, you recognize it.
Yeah.
And so I could do that type of interaction, and I was really satisfied, and I felt also, like you said, like free.
Yeah.
It was, and it's the first time in my life that I really felt different. So even during the day or before, we were speaking,
yes.
And you were saying that all information is great and knowledge, but how to apply it, how to change, I cannot manipulate myself and change my state of mind, but there. It did, but it was really after that conversation, really.
Yeah.
And so I really felt happy when I came back, and I even then, so it was also the first time that I was so like in the bar, so, and normally then I start drinking, and I normally don't drink at all, alcohol, and then I normally drink more and more to become open, and then I just thought, I don't need this, I don't want to drink, and then I was making cola, just Coke, like this, so. And that was for me amazing. And then also, okay, now I go home because tomorrow there will be a lot of information again. I want to be fit. I don't need to be here, so I no big deal.
You made a decision.
Yeah,
you're taking responsibility for your life now.
Yeah. So and then I also saw all the group was playing. We were really a group because and they came around and they introduced you and they said you something nice and. And so we were really a group of friends, really.
Yeah.
And that was great. That helped a lot because also they also saw that all the people saw. Oh, those guys they are together, but they don't care about the girls so much. They just are having a good time, really.
Yeah.
And so that was really nice.
Ah, dude, what a great experience.
That was the moment, man, when we were talking, and you turned and started talking to those two girls and started using the hand gestures and we didn't really even see each other that much after that, but every time I saw you, you had a smile on your face, you had good energy, you were excited about new opportunities. It was just like a whole new look, you know, it was like the version of me that you described of like that sunshine, you know, like the bright thing that people are paying attention to. That was you. That was you. I mean, I was, there was a big goddamn smile on my face, you know, because,
now you guys know. Now you know. Whenever you came, when you showed up here, you're like, this is impossible. It's impossible to become something like we are from something that we're not, right? Something like we are now, it's impossible. How do you explain this shit to people? How do you convince somebody that Brad was not good with women before, that he was meek and quiet and shy and submissive? How do you prove that? Because he couldn't even act like that now if he wanted to, you know. It's like it's not part of him anymore. And how do you tell people who feel that way, who feel like they would identify with that other person that Brad used to be, you know, and then I used to be? But fuck me saying that I used to be that's like even farther from the truth for you. That's going to be totally impossible, you know. But Brad, it might be a little bit easier to understand because Brad hasn't written a book that you read. That's the only reason why, though. Yeah. He's just some guy he just met. That's the only reason, you know. But now you see it. Now you understand, you know, that you do have control.
But also the pedagogy, so it is very good because the first time, so we just ran against the wall. So go, okay, and then so we... So we, without all those explanations, really, so the first night, and then we just, we made everything wrong. So you didn't tell us immediately, don't do this or don't do that. Mm-hmm. So that was good, because so we made really those mistakes, those errors. And then the second night, then, okay, guys, so this time, this you will not do, this you will not do, and then it went much better.
Yeah.
And that was right to do it like that.
Yes, because I know.
If you would have done immediately, like those... If you had given all that information the first day, yeah. I don't think that it would have worked.
No.
But like this was so there's a teacher behind.
So. Oh yeah, I designed this specifically.
Okay, so it's
the designing a transformation like this for somebody is really strange because you gotta take them to a place that you know they're not gonna stay at for a little while, like force you. You gotta be drugged through the mud first. It's not very comfortable, and I can't tell you. I mean, I can tell you all day that you gotta get drugged through the mud first, but when you're being drugged through the mud, like the first night when you go out and you're just, everything's falling to pieces, there's no consolation for you. I can't say, I can't say, hey, this is just for tonight, tomorrow will be better. That doesn't make any difference. Because that first night is eternal. It lasts a lifetime. You know? It just, it's pain forever for you. Because you never think it's going to go away. You really think it's going to last forever. You know? It's a very strange sensation. So I swear. Yeah. I mean, I've done hundreds of these.
My first night was good. And then the second night was not that good.
That's because you came in with other knowledge, too, you know? That's okay, though. Yeah, that's all right. Because the second night, you took a level up. But your level wasn't from, you know, having super low self-esteem to all of a sudden realizing you can do whatever you want to. That's a major, major transition. Where you're going is a little bit different. Where you go is you have to realize that you suck at certain things. And in order to do that, you have to figure it out. You have to go out and try to level up. And then you realize you suck. So then you get worse. And then you overcome it. So tonight or something, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, or maybe next weekend, is when you're going to have your big moment, you know. Well, whenever, next time you go out, basically.
Should I try out stuff all the time?
Yeah, are you kidding? Okay. No, don't do anything. Don't use this stuff in real life. This is just for boot camp.
No, but if I realize it's not working, I have to just completely change it, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I would do. But even if you see that it is working, you know, here's what, you're in a path for the truth right now. You're looking for the truth. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Don't kid yourself into thinking you're looking for anything else. You're just looking for the truth. So you're going to find out the truth. When you do, you're going to change based on that, you know? So, yeah, look for the truth, man. Figure out what it is. If you're having a problem where you get to a wall and you can't move any further, start to study and then jot down some notes and some techniques you want to try out. Don't go study in a whole bunch of different places. Not yet, you know?
Yeah.
I have a lot of the answers already. Otherwise, this will take a lot longer than you need it to. But at least start with me. And then you can find some other stuff if you want to and try it against what I teach you, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, go through your notes, go through the material, because now you're going to have access to everything I've ever done, you know? So that's great. Go through and just find the answers. And then write it down and go out and practice it. And
okay.
See if you can get it to work, you know? And then you'll push beyond that thing. But really what you're looking for is areas where you're not good now. Little things where you're not good. And as you overcome these little things, you'll level up every time. But it'll be like, you know, you'll get this much better. And then at one point, you'll cross a threshold where you get better, 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 better. And then boom, you're here. And you just cross over the line. And that's called the tipping point. Once you cross over the tipping point, this becomes a very different game. It becomes a very interesting world to live in, you know?
Right.
All the things that you've wanted your whole life that you kind of danced around that you didn't know how to get, all of a sudden become attainable and are easy to get. You know, I know that sounds crazy, but just like everyone else heard me earlier say, you know, a couple days ago, say that once you know and you see the Matrix, everything gets a lot easier, you know? It's like, well, how the fuck are you supposed to imagine that? But just like that, how, like, it's really hard to see what's at the next level. You can't see the next level, but I'm telling you, because I've already been there. I'm not even at the level that you're going to. I'm already somewhere else, you know? But that is, I can tell you what's there for you. That level is so fun. It's a great realization. I can't wait. I wish I could be there for you. Like, with you, rather, when that happens, you know? But you'll just be there with yourself. Maybe with somebody else, but it'll be very fun for you.
All right.
So look for those little things. The way you get there is you start focusing on these little tiny improvements. And then at one point, you realize that you hit the tipping point. Like, you just don't... You won't even need to think about techniques anymore or anything. You'll go in and screw something up on purpose just to see if you can get out of it. You know? Just to see. It's a really interesting thing. And then you'll say, what do I want in the world? What do I want in life? This is whenever you start to see, really understand the system, not just behind interaction with women, but interaction with everything around you, all of society, you know? Anyway,
cool.
That's that. So, we already got to you, but we got to your good stuff. What about your bad stuff, right?
I just made that step of attraction, and so...
So the next step would be the thing, right?
So, yeah.
So what do you think that is? Qualifying? Did you qualify?
Yes, I saw it. And I spoke with Connor, and then told me.
So did you qualify last night? Anyone?
I tried once, but...
Okay, yeah, so that's your next step. Okay.
Yeah, but it didn't work.
Okay, great. So then you get to practice.
She didn't know what to say.
Okay, good. So you have to just practice that, right? Okay, so now that you know what to do there, you know how to get up to that point, let me tell you a little bit about qualifying. What you do with your hands, obviously, is very important, right? You're using your hands a bunch. That's helping you banter a lot more. So let's follow that thread of using your hands. And whenever you do it, whenever you do finally ask what her three best qualities are, I want you to do this. What's number one? Okay? So do that with your hands right now. Like, go and say, what's number one?
What's number one?
Okay. That's how you're going to say it. You feel that? That's how it'll feel. It's like, so I'm having a really good time with you. I'm having a blast. And obviously there's something really cool about you that I like a lot, but I don't know what it is. What would you say are your three best qualities? Like, what would number one be, right? What's number one? Or if you had to say your three best qualities, what would you say number one would be? You know, what's the first one? So you do this. Do this. Next time it'll work, okay?
I did it, and it did work.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
What did you do after that?
I said, try. I was like this.
Well, try will work sometimes, but will work almost all the time is, well, if you had to, what would you say? Okay. That's the, remember.
Yeah, I did that. Right,
you did? Worked. Oh, did. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was say, if that doesn't work, I'd be blown away.
That was another one.
Oh, okay,
but
okay.
The other chick said, like, what's your three best qualities?
I know. I totally get that. That was because you probably didn't banter enough.
Yeah.
You didn't have enough, like, negative body language and attraction and stuff, so she threw it back in your face, right? But if you want to get her through that process, you have to just use everything. It's like, has anyone here studied Bruce Lee or read anything Bruce Lee's written or anything? Bruce Lee is a genius. I mean, he was very into philosophy. And a lot of the philosophy that I learned in the beginning, I started from Bruce Lee. He's the guy who kind of got me on this philosophy train in the first place. Because whenever I was looking around for a new religion, for the religion of me, after I left Catholicism, I was studying Shaolin Kung Fu. And the only person I knew of that knew anything about anything was Bruce Lee. That's the only person I knew. So I was like, okay, I was reading all of his books. So I read all of his books. And one of my favorite books is called The Tao of Jeet Kune Do. Guess where I got my name from, you know? And that's what it was from, The Tao of Jeet Kune Do. And The Tao of Jeet Kune Do is more than about fighting. It's about philosophy of understanding people, right? About interaction. And you know one of his philosophies? In fighting, he's like, one of the reasons why he's so good at fighting is that he has a really simple idea behind fighting. And that is you use your longest weapon against the closest target. That might seem really stupid, right? But it's really simple. It's super simple, right? You're close, and if you're really close, instead of using my fist to hit you, I'm going to kick you, because I can kick you. I can kick you. My foot is longer, so I can kick through you, you know? I'll kick the closest part of you. If your foot's closest, I'm going to kick your foot, you know? And that's what he did. He did it all the time. So instead of, like, trying to be clever and sneaky and trick people, he just used a really straightforward approach, you know? The longest weapon against the closest target. So the way that translates into this is that you use the best technique, even if you don't think you need to use the best technique, like the most effective technique, you use it anyway, even if it's not necessary. You know what I mean? Even if you could screw it up and you could afford to like be a little bit loose with it, you don't do that. Instead, you use the best technique again in the proper situation. That's all you do every time. So, you know, if you know that doing this with your hands, where you're going, if you had to say blah, 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 what would you say? You know? And then she gives you resistance. You go, okay, but what if you had to? What would you say? What would number one be if you had to do it? It's like a really weird NLP loophole thing, like psychological loophole that gets you through to her anyway. Like she has to respond, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, if she came back like she did that, but you tell me first.
When I hear that, I don't hear you tell me first. I hear you didn't banter enough. That's all I hear. I don't hear anything else. So I don't respond to you tell me first. I just start bantering. I don't go, no, I asked you first, you go first. Oh, I'm not going to do this unless you go, whatever, you know?
I didn't, but with two girls, that's wrong probably.
Well, you can't ask two girls at once, definitely, because it's...
But then I didn't, and then the answer, two girls, but then... Okay.
Where do you go? You have to isolate one of them and you have to build rapport, but you can do that with two girls, by the way.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about right now is setting up a threesome. But you didn't know that that's what you're doing.
Of course.
You're stepping into like a complicated new world, you know?
Okay.
A little bit advanced.
Okay.
You can do that. Don't say don't ever do that with two girls. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that first try to figure out how to do it with one girl. You know? So you would in that case, you would if you were talking to two girls and you need to isolate one to qualify her, get a dude. If a friend of yours isn't nearby, then grab some random guy and introduce him and like start talking to him and be like, hey, let's see what this guy thinks. You bring him in and be like, do you think they look like sisters? You know? And he's like, oh, yeah, they look just like sisters. I don't know, dude. Like, he's just like, fuck, man, thank you. You know, whatever. And then just be like, they look like sisters. And then she's the feisty one, aren't you? You know, whatever. Joke around. And then let them start talking. You know? Like, where are you from? Whatever. Get into a conversation. And then take the one that you're talking to and qualifier. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys are afraid to invite other dudes in because they're afraid they're going to get blown out since they invite another guy in. But don't worry about that. That's like baby thought. Like, that's some bush league shit. Like, what's another, I don't know, bush league. That's like,
Kindergarten.
Yeah. It's like very elementary, you know? Don't worry about that. The truth is, this isn't even advanced. This is just intermediate. This is just like normal, is that when you invite someone into a group, you have power, not them. So don't worry about it. Do it anyway. No guy does this. Most guys are like elementary school kids, you know, when it comes to this. Is that pretty clear?
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, man. Awesome. Rene?
I had a nice time last night. A few things happened. For the first thing, what you told me about a cigarette. For the first time, a woman come to me and asked for a cigarette.
Uh-huh.
In the past ways, people can ask me anything and I give it straightly.
Uh-huh.
But when I read your book, you don't take anything for granted now anymore.
Yeah.
And that was the moment, well, do it. And just do it. Said to her, you must do for something for it when you take the cigarette. And I was thinking, and it's all about the one moment, you know?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what shall I do? Shall I give it to him straightly, or shall I say, you must sing a song for me?
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, start singing a song for me. He was, okay, what song shall I sing for you? Sing Happy Birthday, you know? okay, as you say Happy Birthday. And I was thinking, what the fuck is going on over here? She sing it, only for a little bit cigarette. And I think, she got lots of guys over here, she came, walk away from me, and she said, hey, give me a cigarette from another guy, you know?
Uh-huh.
But she was still standing here, she was singing,
I was right next to her.
Yeah, it was for me, wow, it was incredible, you know? And after that, and she said, happy birthday, what's your name again? Yeah, Renee, happy birthday, Renee, and then we finished, and we clapped, you know, yeah, okay, now you have earned your cigarette, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that,
and then what did she do?
Huh?
She stayed. And started asking you questions.
Yeah.
She was very attracted.
Yeah, that's right. And that was, for me, it was a blowing mind thing, a blowing moment also. There were two things happening in one time, and it was really cool. I like it a lot, you know? And I got a really good response also from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I was thinking, I do it for every time like this anymore in the future, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a really cool start.
That was awesome.
And during the bar walking, I was a little bit troubled through bar walking, you know.
Yeah.
Especially from approaching girls from behind or saying, "Hey, how are you?" You know, and that kind of things.
Why are you approaching girls from behind while you're bar walking?
Because the brother or father said, "From walk to the bar and talk to the people."
Yeah.
No, and I'm forcing, I must talk to people.
Okay.
That's why I'm talking. I must talk because the coaches are watching me, and when I don't talk, what the fuck are you doing now? You know?
I see. So I'm
forcing me to talk to somebody, but I also notice when you're forcing to get involved in a conversation, they don't like it a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't also what I do now. Walk away, next.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a thing what I don't was not familiar for me, you know.
It's new,
it's really new. And but the other kind of thing was it's just like be the host of the bar or how you call it, the party, you know. It's a really,
you know what I used to call that? We used to call that mayor walking. So mayor walking is like pretending that you're the mayor. You know mayor. So like it's like going up, "Hi, nice to meet you, Josh Cox here. Hey, nice to meet you, Josh Cox here." Like, shaking hands and kissing babies, you know? Hey, hold the baby, get a picture, you know? Like, that's how it feels, you know? Just like, "Hey, nice to meet you." Okay, like, just pretend like you're the mayor. I did this in downtown Manhattan, and I used to live by the New York Stock Exchange, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go mayor walking. I did it once. A mayor walked around, and this is like New York and downtown, and people were very like, I mean, Wall Street's right there. And I walked around, and all these armed guards with automatic weapons, you know, military police. And I was like walking up to them going, hey, it's nice to meet you, I'm Joshua. And they were like, hey, I'm Frank. Like, nice to meet you, man. All right, take care. And he's like, what? You know, so I did this once and I walked around. And then the next time, probably about a week later, right, I'm walking with a girl down by Wall Street. And I hear, Josh! I turn around, there's a guy with a semi-automatic weapon, you know, waving at me. And this girl, and I was like, hey, man, I didn't know who the fuck he was. I forgot his name, you know. But I was like, hey, all right. And this girl was like, who are you? Like, everybody in that area was doing that. The people at the coffee shop were doing it. The door guy was doing it. The military police were doing it. It's like, who am I, right? This is what happens. Because of this process, you know. If you do this just for no reason, really, just for no reason, just have a good time doing it, you just, so much happens because of that, man.
I like it a lot because what you said, just like for, I was really, really slow started yesterday, Friday evening, it was okay, go with the flow and nothing wrong. But yesterday was a really cold start for me, and it was damn. When I was thinking at that moment also, when I was at home in my territory or when I'm going out over there, I was a moment from, let's go home.
Yeah.
Not tonight.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And that
that's
was,
normal.
And that kind of thing was, no, we go further. We go
further.
Again. And
further
and,
is the word.
And so go on and, yeah, through the night and through the evening, I get a little bit more of conversation, but one moment when I'm gonna back to the smoking area, and Ivan was already talked to two girls, you know, American girls, and I was a little bit inviting me also in the conversation. And suddenly, the conversation from one girl turns around totally to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was only sitting, okay, sent back, laying back to the wall, looking to to the stairs, and look at the guys who comes in or goes out,
mm-hmm.
and she's gonna talk to me. Hey, where you come from, and what you're doing? And I also get a little bit report back, but also my setting was, take it easy. You don't want nothing from her.
Yeah.
You only want, okay, listen what she has to say, and then you want to walk away.
Uh-huh.
So I got more negative body language, and see what you're saying about dancing. I trying it out. While she talking to me, I was trying it a little bit out, and she's standing a little bit in front of me, and you know,
mm-hmm.
it's fun. But suddenly, Connor and Brad come over me, and they said, and I was thinking, we mentioned a language, you know. When when you do this, I was thinking, pull her away, you know. And that's why, and I tried, let's go inside. I said to her, no. And that was the moment she said, no, I'm here with my little sister. And he was talking to the little sister, Ivan. So that's why, okay, stay here, it's fine, you know.
Oh, man, crucial
but
moment.
But I think what he said, touch a lot. But she touched a lot to me also, you know. And
yeah.
That's, and I
girls won't touch a guy unless they're attracted to him.
Yeah,
they
and
won't.
For me, it was also a new, new kind of thing, that women touching me.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
You know?
I can imagine you would like that.
And yeah, the other from yesterday on the day, when we walk on a day on the streets from approaching girls, it was for me a really strange thing to approach women on the daytime when they have a schedule. It's like myself, when I go in the city for in the center, it's only for a purpose. I go get something and I'm out of it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's also, for example, you asked for a time on the street. And the girls, through walking, they're walking behind and look at you, and you must go after her for to get the answer, what you want, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a little bit difficult for me also.
The daytime thing, just keep this in mind. No girl is expecting to meet a guy during the daytime. They're not expecting to be approached by guys during the daytime. That's silly, I think, because you can see girls better during the daytime. So you can have a better idea whether or not they're hot and during the daytime. You know, the same girls that you meet out, what do you think, the girls that go out to bars are like hiding in a coffin during the daytime like this, and like wake up and like, time to go out to a bar. No, they're walking around somewhere, you know. They're there. You just have to see them wandering around. And you do see them wandering around, you know. The same girl that's out of the bar is just super hot girl. During the daytime, she's pretty cute. You don't notice that she's super hot like that sometimes. because, you know, she doesn't have as much makeup on. She's not, like, trying to get a bunch of attention. But because she's not trying to get attention, she thinks that no one's going to notice her. And usually it's true. No one notices her, you know? So you have that advantage during the daytime that because she's not expecting it, you can come straight up to her and you can just say whatever you want to and be totally direct. Hey, you're super cute, you know? I can't believe that you don't have a crowd of guys around you, you know? I'm going to hang out with you later. Give me your phone number. Like that. I've had Johnny and I used to play a game where we tried to get girls' numbers by saying as little as possible. And during the daytime, it was super fun to do this because you didn't have as many barriers. And one time, I wasn't there, but he came back and he told me this story. And I was like, fuck, man, that's like the best one I've heard of. There's this girl walking a dog, and she's walking her dog, and Johnny goes, he walks up and he goes, oh my God, look, you're so cute. And he hands her his phone. And he's like petting the dog, you know? And he's like, look at you. And then he goes like this, and he takes the phone, and then he walks off. And she's like, and as he's petting the dog, he looks up, and she's like, laughing, typing in her phone number to this phone. Like, she has no idea who this is, didn't get his name, nothing. He just handed her his phone, and then she just put her phone number in, you know? And I was like, that's a pretty good one. That was a pretty funny one. I like that one a lot, you know? But that's during the daytime, you know, things are different during the daytime. They're a lot more fun, I think, during the daytime. But the difference is that as a guy, you know, you don't have anything to fall back on, you know? So it seems scarier, but the chances of you succeeding go way, way, way up during the daytime, you know? So I would do a lot more day game, if I were you, just for fun, you know, and push the boundaries. You know, like I don't think you heard this because you weren't here the first day, but I used to buy a dozen roses and then I would just get a rose and I'd wander until I found a girl I liked and I would say, you know, I didn't know how I was going to buy this for when I bought it, but I want you to have it, you know? And she was like, you know? Oh my God. And I used to go, okay, I'll see you later. It's like, no. Wait, who are you? What's your name? You know, like, oh, I'm Joshua, but I got to get back to my friends. But here, why don't you go and put your number in my phone? She's like furiously like, how do I do it? You know, like that's what you want, you know, you want the tables to be turned, you know? So during the daytime, a lot of the rules that apply for meeting women at nighttime don't apply. You don't have a what to say, do you? The product?
No, not really.
Okay, so we don't have.
You do that.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
We gave you access to everything.
Yeah.
What to say is a. You'll see Connor is like, all is illustrated. Like you can see Connor is like a drawing of Connor in there, and like it shows specific like images of like do this, don't do this, like how to do every move. You know, like images for it. Go in there and check that out because it says. It's like what to say and what to do in every situation. That's typical, right? So like during the daytime or at nighttime, those are broken up, you know? During the daytime, if it's just one girl. During the daytime, if it's two girls. During the daytime, if she's walking on the street. If she's standing on a corner. If she's at a cafe. Like what happens if there's two girls at a cafe? What happens if there's a group of girls and guys at a cafe? Like every single one of those situations is covered. As many as I can think of were covered in what to say. So so check that out and kind of get a sense for the daytime stuff and then go out and start practicing it, you know? It's really, I could sit here and tell them all to you, but really it's way better if you read it because it's just so easy, you know? I also cover a lot of that in a program called Attraction in Action, which is a part of an ongoing member program called Accelerated Seduction Program, which you're going to have for free too. Normally it's $50 a month, so you'll get that forever. For free, which is great. So, so that you'll get that, and
scary. We're just gonna crack into us.
Oh, whatever. If it happens, it'll be a show, I guess. but yeah, go through that stuff and really learn more about it there, because what you have in your mind is that you're just not familiar with it yet. But once you learn something, learn a technique or two, and then stop reading, and go practice. That's what you have to do.
Okay.
Like, don't, like, just take notes and get a whole... Yeah, don't keep reading, because there is something called paralysis by analysis, and I was talking about this before. You know, you'll read so much, and you'll get a bunch of information, and you won't use it, and then you feel super depressed, because you're like, I know all this stuff, but I'm not doing... I can't do any of it, I'm an idiot, you know? But really, you are an idiot, but not because you can't do it, but because you haven't done it, because you haven't practiced it, you know? Anyway, so, that's that.
And that's what I also think. And I was also at the night where we were at the bar also, I noticing in what state the people are. And especially when the last time when I go back to the bar, which was really, really crowded, I mentioned it when I walk in. I saw people in my environment, the guys like standing like this, and other people standing like this. I recognized it in a moment from, oh, he's doing that. And I also mentioned at the same time, wow, what I know now, what you teach to me now, it gives me a benefit for me and for myself also. So it's not just like, wow, I'm in advance now, and I only need to just do it.
Yeah.
Because when you're looking around, every people's doing the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And every time and every moment, and you are, with the thing what you teach us, you know, you're prepared and we are a little bit more advanced than the average guy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's and there was a moment last night when I came back to the bar, it was, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
You know, there's a good way to think of it like this, you know. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like the most attractive that a guy could possibly be, and 1 being the least attractive that a guy can possibly be, the 99 or so percent of guys are around 3, right? That means that you don't have to be fantastic with women. You just have to not suck. Does that make sense? This is the only area of your life where all you have to do is not suck with women, and then you get whatever you want. Now, if you want to continue, that's a personal mission, you know? The last, like, 1%, to get up to that 1%, to really be the best at it, you have to climb up from 4 to 5 to 6, all the way up, like, on the scale, and keep improving yourself. But you don't really see that much of a difference in your interactions with women. I mean, you'll see it getting easier, and you'll see things change, but it isn't. But most of the change will actually happen just from that little jump from, like, below average to just barely below average, you know? Not even good. Just not terrible, you know. It's a very interesting thing to see. I don't know of many guys that are better than me at this. I'm not saying that I'm like hot shit, really. I just don't know of many that are. I don't know of any that are actually. So I don't really know. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
So.
But it doesn't matter, really. That doesn't matter. I'm just thinking for myself, like. Where does that put me on the scale? I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. But I actually kept going. I kept going up. I kept improving the whole time. Even though I didn't need to, I kept going. Really because I was wondering, what's next? What is there next? Like, where is the next step? Where does it take me? Because every time I've taken a step, something phenomenal has happened. Something unexpected and beautiful and amazing happened, you know? So I just kept going. Why would I stop, you know? You can choose to do that if you want to, and you can see, you know, to quote The Matrix, you can see how deep this rabbit hole goes, you know, to see really how good you can get and how advanced you can get, you know, or you can stay where you are and enjoy the experiences that you're having, you know, it's your choice now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do one or the other. No one's going to judge you for doing one or the other. I know what I chose. It wasn't an easy path. I'll tell you that though, you know, pushing forward, but. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I'm doing it still. So, anyway, it's cool.
Yeah.
Roberto? So, one thing that went really well last night that you were surprised about, and then another thing that you would like to see improved.
So mine might sound different from the others. The one thing that went really well, actually, was I hit a wall. My brain was mush, and I needed a lot of help from these guys, but sort of the final mission was go around, talk to people, be happy. And there was three girls who were able to do it. I was able to turn on the emotion, hold it, and elicited a genuine positive response. But that took, the reason why I think it's fucking awesome, even though it sounds so minor that I just elicited a good response, is in my head, there was a can't, now there's a can with consequences.
Yes.
And there was two very important things. One thing Brad said was, is the fatigue possibly a reaction to the pain? And again, my brain was much so, like, now you can see I'm able to process it faster. And then the perfect thing you said was, I think, with the social muscle thing, is that if you exercise the social muscle thing too much, the only thing that can get damaged is the ego. And
interesting.
And as soon as I heard that, I was like, you guys saw me last night. It probably took me, like, 20 minutes. And I was like, huh? Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, yeah.
So those final moments, the reason why I am proud of them is because I just took every fucking bit of energy I had, and I would not have done that before.
Yeah.
So the whole point is there's, I had a Kent I didn't really know about.
Yeah.
I got rid of it. I now have a fucking counter example.
Nice. Yeah. What the thing is now, I here's what's really exciting, is the next question. How many of those things exist? How many of those Kents are there? You know, now you're on a mission. You're on the dragon slaying mission. This is what it's like.
I've been on the Kent mission for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of women, I'm not sure. I have a very jagged competence. I think so. Some things I really have to work at. So like Brad has seen me when things go well.
Mm-hmm.
Day game. Yeah, you talk about your day game experience.
Well, I need to figure out that Tetris puzzle for myself. So there are a lot of Kents left, but not as many.
Really, I'm just saying that the mission here is clearly to find them, and clearly
realize
they're not real. You know, that's clearly the mission. So that's exciting, man. I mean, that's something for you. That's a way out. Whereas when you showed up, there was no way out. There wasn't one.
Yeah.
Because you just didn't see it.
And yeah,
it's wild, isn't this wild?
And the other thing I would say, though, is I have blown away, what did I call them? Unexamined false beliefs.
Uh-huh.
But I think there are some, I think the part I didn't have before was keeping some around, just for healthy functioning in this world.
Just for having fun, really.
Yeah, because I remember one, I forgot what it was, but I blew it away, and it knocked me down for like 3 weeks or a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's sort of like, oh, yeah. Like,
now what? Yeah.
Well, most people, right, believe they have free will, but for most people, it's a necessary delusion.
Right.
And there are certain delusions I think I am choosing to keep.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, I would say, let me ask you a question first before I go down this path. What do you hope to do? Like, what are you doing here? Are you in this to exist in the world in harmony, or are you in this to find the truth regardless of what happens?
They're both.
Okay.
But really, I'm more about truth.
If you have
the shit that I've put myself through, I mean, because you guys don't really know much of my backstory, but the shit I've put myself through...
okay.
Truth is my... I like the way you phrase it. I'd rather have one truth than 1,000 lies.
Yeah, okay. So then my answer changes for this. So here's what I think.
I'd like to exist in harmony, though. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Like
that'd be a good option.
That.
You know, it'd be cool to have that option. But
that
there are two ways to do this. One is to exist in harmony before you find truth,
mm-hmm.
which means you never find truth. And the other is to find truth and then exist in harmony.
Let's do that.
Okay, that's way harder, just so you know. But I'm
a fan of the hard way. I don't know why.
Okay, me too. I'm there too. So, okay then. Well then, I would say no belief can stick with you. The beliefs that you have now, here's the word for you. It's a one-word mantra, and this will get you, this will push you through everything. And that word is further.
My current motto is onwards and upwards.
Yep, further. Continue, you know?
Yeah, that's actually, I came up with the word, it's a whole long story.
That's it, but that's it though, you know.
Continue.
There's this synchronicity everywhere. You'll see that eventually. You'll start to see this too. This is happening all over the place.
I've been seeing it before, just not in this arena. Like with everything else, except with me relating with women. But I can see it so much everywhere else, or other people.
At some point, you're gonna realize some weird shit that's gonna make you feel crazy.
Oh, been there.
Yeah, but you're gonna really, like, you're gonna have this point where you're like, shit, what do I do? You know, do I accept the truth? Because the truth is fucking nuts. It's not like what you think it is. It's not like
I've done that except for this domain. I've moved past that.
No, I mean I know you did it in a specific domain, but I mean beyond domains. I mean everything. I don't mean certain areas of your life. I'm talking about zooming way the fuck out to your existence and seeing this is something crazy going on that you're going to see if you keep going on this path. It is there for you.
Interacting with women is my current
great
stumbling block.
That's your current dragon to slay.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, great. You know? Onward, like you're saying. Continue. Further. Keep going. If you're on the path to destroying beliefs, and you came up with some that you needed to believe in order to continue, you can't. You have to go further. If it's scary, you go further anyway, you know? You keep killing them. You keep going. And you don't know what's going to happen. That's the weird part. It's like every time you want to stop and take a break, you have to believe something. Take a break. You have to go, okay, well, let me just assume that I, you know, that there is, yeah, that this is important for a moment or that this actually exists, whatever it is, right? That, that meeting women is important. You have to assume that if you want to actually learn how to meet women, right? Otherwise, there's no motivation to do it whatsoever. But really, I'm asking you not to assume that. I'm asking you to...
Sorry, not to assume...
That it's important to meet women at all.
Yeah.
Or to learn how to attract them at all. You know, don't assume anything. Believe nothing. Only thing that you can really say you believe is I don't know, and I exist. That's it. So only believe those things for now. Eventually, you're going to get to a place where you're not even going to need to believe that. That you're not going to need to believe that you exist. Because the only thing that will be true for you is the observation. So last night I had some crazy shit happen to me. Like, not that something physically happened to me in my world, but I just, I can't even fucking explain this to you guys. This is one of those things that's really weird and really crazy, but I had a lifetime worth of synchronicities all come together to one point all at once last night. Like, I was reading a book and I'll just kind of give you the general idea. The improbability of this being possible is so outrageous that it's like an infinite improbability. Like, it's so improbable that there's no way it could possibly happen, you know? I'm not saying that there's some system I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I know that it's so improbable that it's happened, and it did. That's all I can say, right? And so... this might not make any sense. It's almost certainly not going to make any sense to anybody, but I was reading a book about Moby Dick, you know, and I don't want to ruin this for you because you may have the same realization, but for me, I have Call Me Ishmael tattooed in my arm right here, really big, right here on my arm. Did you guys see that yesterday? Like, it's like right here, see? It says Call Me Ishmael. It's huge.
Yeah.
That's the first line of Moby Dick. And as I'm reading this book, this guy is breaking down Moby Dick and realizing that it's actually not just a hero's journey or, like, not about a guy killing a whole bunch of his friends. It's actually every single character is a metaphor for a different part of you. And Ahab is the dragon slayer, the one who's chasing the whale, the captain, right?
Yeah.
And he goes crazy and no one trusts him and he dies at the end, right? But at the end, something happens. You think you're reading the whole book from a perspective of Ishmael. Ishmael is a person on the boat. Mm-hmm. But what you don't know, the first line is Call Me Ishmael, but what you don't know is that Ishmael is a new version of somebody else in the book. Someone else that he's talking about. The person that he was before Ahab dies is someone else in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this. I had no idea. I thought that Ishmael was a character watching the whole thing happen, you know? But really that's not what's going on. Whenever Ahab goes down,
yeah.
Pip, his cabin boy, gets drugged down with him,
mm-hmm.
and only Pip surfaces, but you don't know if he survives. But really, Pip doesn't survive. Pip becomes Ishmael.
Ishmael
survives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only one left is Ishmael. This is really fucking crazy. When I got this tattoo, I didn't know that. I didn't know that the whole book was written from a perspective of somebody who's already woken up, looking back on their life before they woke up. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, I realized something totally improbable, that is impossible, which is that, and this is going to sound weird to you guys, and I can't explain it, but this whole thing, you know how I was sitting here yesterday, and I was saying, I'm not here for you guys, you're here for me, you know? I've been saying this to a lot of people lately. I don't know why I've been saying this, it just kind of is the case for me, it seems, but I didn't realize what I was really saying. What I'm really saying is that everything is for me. The whole everything.
Mm-hmm.
Since the dawn of time, it's all been for me. This is strange to hear someone else say this because it might make you go, well, what about me, right? I'm not saying it's not the same for you. I'm just saying that I don't know anything about you or if you even exist. I don't know. I don't even care, to be honest. This is a show for me. This is my movie I'm watching. This is my experience that I'm having, and I like it. It's really cool, you know? Everything in my life, I started following it back to say, how improbable is this, really? That was my question. How unlikely is it that that the one phrase I got attached to my arm, the one thing that meant something to me, the book, I didn't even understand the book. I just knew that Call Me Ishmael was important in my life. You know, when I got it. I thought that Ishmael was just the black sheep, because from the Bible, Ishmael is the bastard son of Abraham, and he gets shunned after they have Isaac, who's like the chosen son, you know?
Right.
So that's what I thought it meant. I thought it meant that, and it did mean that. It did mean that he was the black sheep. He was a man without a country, you know? A stranger in a strange land, right? But this is what it means to be a stranger in a strange land. Because it's all for me. Like, this whole thing is for me. Everything. Every experience and every place and every person. It's all for me. So now, I don't know, I'm fucking king of this world. You know? I don't know how else to explain that. That's really crazy for me. So I'm glad I didn't go to field work last night, because I thought about it, and I was like considering coming out to meet you guys, just to watch, but I wouldn't have had this if I did that. I stayed. I followed my gut instinct to stay, even though I was like, well, I'm sure Connor and Brad would appreciate if I came out. I'm sure you guys would all appreciate seeing me out at least once in field work, you know? But I couldn't do it. I don't know why. I just didn't sacrifice that. And I stayed back, and I had this realization. And I recorded my conversation last night. Kelsey started recording, because she was like, holy shit. She was watching me go through this, and she's like, she was trying to take notes, but she couldn't take notes fast enough. She was asking me questions, like, what is ego? And I was like, it's clear to me. Ego is like a hole in the ground. Like, what is a hole in the ground? It's the absence of ground. That's all that it is. It's not something. It's a delusion of nothing. Of nothing being there. Of separateness, you know? But I'm not separate from you guys. I know it sounds weird. But I've heard this before. I've heard people say this and I didn't get it. I didn't really get it. I didn't understand what it really meant until I had this realization last night, you know?
Mm.
This path you're on is going to lead you to understand at some point, at one moment, that this whole universe is for you. The whole thing is for you. Probably. Right? Try it on. I would do that. And then try to poke holes in it. Start to see the synchronicity in your life. All the things that happened led up to now. You know? The improbability that you're in this room. You know? I mean, that you're in this room right now with me, talking to you about this, at this moment in my life, to hear this, to see this. Why do you think you're seeing this? It's happening for you.
On mine, I'm kind of blown away because I was just expecting a program on how to get chicks.
This is how it works, you know?
So this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't get it, but I don't need to get it. I know it's amazing, and I'm having a really good time so far with life, you know? I mean, in this way, I detached from pain. I detached from physical pain. Like, I'm not afraid of physical pain anymore. I've been afraid of physical pain my whole life, you know? I'm not anymore. I don't know why. And if any one of you wanted to test it, I wouldn't mind. If you wanted to stand up and punch me in the face, you know? Okay. You know? I'm like, in saying that, I'm wondering if the universe is going to make you do that. I don't know. I have no idea what the fuck is happening. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that I'm not afraid of any experience now, because it's all part of the show. And I love this show. This show is amazing. You're all here for me, yeah, but everything is here for me. That's really what I realized.
Can I sucker punch you?
You wouldn't have to sucker punch me. I'd be standing here looking at you. You know?
No, I mean, you asked. Could I try?
To sucker punch? You have to do it when I wasn't paying attention. That's what a sucker punch is.
Oh, no. Sorry, I hit you in the gut.
Oh, you could, but it probably wouldn't hurt me.
No, probably not.
I mean, I would probably have a reaction that would flinch my stomach muscle. You could, if you want to.
Can I?
Yeah.
You asked about this, and I just got a weird feeling. I'm like,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Ah! That was never hard.
No, but try to make a fist. Oh! Ah!
So ugly. This is a boot camp first.
No, you were talking.
Say my name, bitch.
You were talking, and I had a weird.
No, if you want,
like,
you need
to.
I think I have to hit this.
You have to. You know, when I was little.
I'm not shitting you guys.
No, well, then do it. That's what has to happen.
You kept talking, and I'm like, I don't know what.
Well, good. This is what it means to not question it, to turn your brain off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To really just experience it. I have no idea why you had to do that. You know?
Why?
But it doesn't matter.
Actually, I'm starting to get a clue, but I'm going to let
it doesn't matter why you had to do it. You know? For me, it doesn't, because I'm experiencing, it's funny, because I'm experiencing, like, the sensation of pain, But it all the feelings of hurt, like I just got hurt, I didn't get hurt. I'm just experiencing like the...
Well, I guess I wasn't trying to hurt you. I didn't want to hit you.
Even so, even if you were, it's not like that.
Yeah.
It's just that my body is feeling a sensation of pain. That's all. You know? Like, I have no emotional association with you doing that. You know, normally, what really gets hurt is the ego that's attached to it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not... It feels interesting. I think it's interesting. Has anybody ever, like, hurt themselves or cut themselves or anything like that before? Has anyone ever done that? Just to, like, see if you could feel pain?
Yeah.
Just because? You know? I don't know why it's interesting to me, but it is. Like, it's something that owns you fully. The fear of pain. It owns you. You know? The idea that you're going to get hurt. You know? But I don't know. It's not that scary anymore to me. It's not scary at all anymore. Death isn't scary anymore. Like, there's some weird shit going on. It's so funny. That had to happen. That's so funny. I just think
that's cool.
This is part of the show, you know? It's all part of the show. I like it. I don't pretend to understand it, but I like it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a very heavy, odd thing to say in the middle of a boot camp. And, well, you know, whatever. I just got punched in the stomach several times. But you probably didn't expect that either, you know? And if that killed me, okay. You know, that's how Houdini died.
Oh,
you
know
that? Yeah, he was like, anybody can hit me in the stomach. And they were like, some guy was like, okay, whap! And then he died.
Shit, I know that.
Yeah. You know, but it's like, you know, I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he was like, anybody can hit me in the stomach, and he was thinking the same thing that I was, but if I die, I die. You know? That's okay. Don't feel bad, you know, if you kill me. You know? If I die,
he died,
but... Well, I mean, most of this, everything's been recorded.
Do we get
all, you know, if you guys wanted to, like... if you guys wanted to, like, pass out the... Maybe it would have to happen. Maybe I should die after that, you know? Maybe when I tell Kelsey this, she's going to laugh her ass off. But the point is that for some reason, I'm not... You know, you'll never probably be able to punch someone in the stomach without them judging you ever again.
Unless no, and I think that's why I took that opportunity.
Yeah, unless you punch me in the stomach again. In which case, I'll be like, oh... You know, if I didn't make that, I just can't help but flex my, it's a reaction to flex my stomach when I know someone's going to hit me. Whenever I was probably 8 years old, I had this cousin who was a bully to me, always, in the trailer park. Like, every day he would bully me, you know. And I remember one day we were playing tag football, you know, and, you know, American football. Real football. I'm just kidding. No, we were playing football and we're throwing the ball back and forth and I just got to this point where I was like, you know, I can't do this anymore. I can't. Like, he was singling me out every day for years that he was doing this, you know, and he was singling me out and then trying to tackle me and like being a dickhead, you know. So finally, I was like, you know what I said? This is gonna be really funny. I said, "Do you want to hit me?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, okay, hit me in the stomach as hard as you want to. And he goes, okay. You know, and he's this big, really strong kid. And he gets this deep stance and he goes, he starts swinging like full speed and full strength, hit my stomach, bam, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there like this, boom, you know. And then I go, are you done? And he goes, yeah. And I go, all right, let's play some football. You know? I didn't realize how, I never thought that would ever happen again in my life. You know? I just love when shit comes together like this. So, anyway, we're talking about your negative experiences, but I think that we kind of went through everything.
Yeah, the negative experiences was the, making excuses.
Right. And I don't think that's going to be it will be a problem that you'll have to deal with, but as you start to see these, can'ts turn into cans, for you and your kind of language, using your language, you'll stop trusting the can'ts. When you hear a can't, you'll go, bullshit. You'll start to know that when you hear that, it's obviously bullshit. Because every piece of bullshit has a can't in front of it. You know? It seems.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I wasn't aware I had that one left. I've gotten rid of a lot of them, but I didn't know.
Oh, there's probably a lot more. I would assume there's a lot more, you know? Just assume that, because what harm would it do to assume that there's a lot more?
Fair enough. All I can say is, I've gotten rid of a lot of them thus far.
Sure.
I don't know how many are left.
Further. That's all that there
onward
is.
Onward and upward.
Yep. More. That's all that there is.
Continue.
Yep. Any questions, guys? I know that this is totally normal, and this is something that happens to you every day, so probably you have no questions whatsoever. Are you guys good to go to lunch now?
Yeah.
Is that cool? And then right now it's 12:31. Just be back here. We have kind of more of a relaxed day today because we don't have field work and it's the end of the program. So why don't you guys take an hour and a half today just to kind of process everything? You can ice your hand. Just kidding. No. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
In the jaw, that would probably be like...
That might hurt your hand, actually. That would hurt my jaw.
Yeah.
But you might break my jaw, then I have to go to the hospital, then I can't talk. You know what I mean? That might not be a good thing for everybody. But if it was here to happen, it would happen. So that would mean...
I don't know why.
2 o'clock. Is that good with you guys?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So why don't we meet back up here at 2 o'clock, and you guys can wander, and then I'll go grab some food, too, or something, and that'll be what we do.
I'm going to wander for a second. I have this awesome camera, and I haven't gotten to use it at all.
I'll walk around. Oh, a camera, like a still camera.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Cool. All right, guys.
Cool.
I'm going to call up Kelsey. Did you get my because their knee grows last night?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that for some reason.
That was the funniest joke
ever. Kelsey was we were talking for some reason, and then she just said that out of nowhere, and I was like, laughing.
That was the guy.
Oh, because we're talking about pants.
Yeah. Us that in London. Yeah, we were at a shisha bar. He was just full of jokes.
That's funny because we were at a shisha bar whenever she was talking about me wearing saggy pants or something. Like,
oh yeah.
I was like, I'm not comfortable in like drooping pants. She's like, well, that's because your knee grows. And I was like, oh, that's hilarious. So.
30th birthday.
Uh-huh.
How do you suggest it comes to you?
Well, first off, you gotta get rid of that time constraint. That's
her time constraint.
Yeah, but either way, you know, then you gotta let her go.
Right.
I mean, you know, I met Kelsey 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know that whole story? I met her? Do you know?
Yeah, you said that you were reading, or you were at a gas station or something?
Working at a gas station, yeah. Connor, do you wanna bring that on the other side of you, maybe?
Sure.
I'm not sure if it'll reach, but we can figure it out.
There's a plug over here, I think. I just want to make sure we get all this.
Like right here?
Yeah, that's probably fine. Just so it can pick me up. So one of the things that I had, whenever I was going through that process with you know, knowing Kelsey and just even knowing that she existed was kind of a big deal for me because I didn't know there's anyone like that in the world.
Right.
So, and I knew, somehow I knew, I don't know how I knew this, but that I had to let her go in order to be free enough myself to evolve, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you're evolving for something outside of yourself, then you evolve into something that you're not, that you shouldn't be, basically.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't really work. You know?
Yeah.
You, like, end up just supplicating. Your entire life is about somebody else. You know?
Right.
And it took me a couple of years to actually get that through to my brain. I was, like, trying to chase things down. And there's some residual stuff. Left over as well, like little things like my idea of what a man is. It's like based on what I thought she would like as a man, like in a man, you know. So I had to go through and like really tear those things down piece by piece and not have that lead me at all.
Okay.
So I did that and. The first thing I had to do, though, was imagine life without her, like, that would never happen, you know, and then get comfortable with that.
Right, yeah.
That would be the first thing I would do if I were you, because you know? That seemed to be a really helpful thing for me. The way that I got through that, though, the kind of, like, thing that, the belief that helped me through that, which, you know, again, I don't suggest you believe anything, but if you're having a really hard time and you need a temporary belief,
mm-hmm.
The one that helped me the most was... I'm going to find a girl who's at least as good as, if not better than, Kelsey. That was my belief.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So then I was like, okay, well then as long as I know that I'm not going to settle for anything less than as good as I felt with her, then I'm not scared of anything, right? I can push forward.
Yeah.
And then eventually I started believing that it was impossible for it to happen, that we'd never meet again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That it was over for real and that I had to let her go. In my mind, and I did. And when I did that, that was a very strange time. I got lost in the ego, really seriously. and learned how to manipulate this world really well. And then I got lost in it. I couldn't get out of it. I was so wrapped up in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if that's your path. I don't think you need to do that, because why would you be here asking me that question? You know, if you needed to go through the hard way, I don't think you need to. I think that your path is probably different. You know?
Yeah, I don't think I can do that either.
Yeah, so I think that probably the answer for you is going to be to continue on your journey, and whenever you're done, whatever you want, you'll get. That's just how it is, you know. So
okay,
that's a really weird thing to say, but I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I think for me, it's just really separating this girl with the positive attributes that I enjoyed.
Exactly.
And then aiming for those attributes as opposed to that specific girl.
Yeah. And make the attributes as vague as you can, because if you get them detail-oriented, then things get really weird. Like, you'll start to get girls that have those details, you know, but then you'll realize...
You kind of close yourself off a bit if you make it too specific.
Yeah, that's one serious problem with that, definitely. But if you, like, the only goal should be that she should make you feel that way, right?
Yeah.
And you won't know until you fuck her, basically, at least once or twice or 10 times or whatever. So you're going to have to get to that stage anyway with women. Really explore them all. So when you first meet a girl, don't do the judgment right then. That's a really important one. Because I used to do that in the beginning. I tried to make the judgment immediately. And I didn't know the girls well enough to be able to do that. So I was like making all these weird assumptions about who they were and how they weren't good enough. And then I was just sitting by myself like it wasn't really working out for me. So I would suspend that like judgment until afterwards. Like, I'll see how I feel after we sleep together.
Okay.
If you feel like amazing afterwards, better than you ever had with a girl before that, and be as honest as you can, you know.
Yeah.
Then you'll know. Now,
okay.
Eventually you'll get to a point where that won't matter anymore, and you won't need to sleep with a girl to know. But
mm-hmm.
ultimately, you need to be able to. Need to be able to experience that with a lot of women so that you can get the experience that you need as a man so that you can become, you know, the man that you need to be so that when you meet that woman, whether it's that girl or a new one, you know,
you'll
be ready for it, you know.
That makes sense.
I have a really weird story around my chase for Kelsey, and it's like a really odd thing that I did. I you know, 8 years I spent... learning this stuff to get her specifically, I gave up, and when I gave up, she popped back up again. It's like, and then I got her, you know? And the way I got her was I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that I learned, I didn't do any of the stuff that I learned. I know it sounds really silly, but the stuff that stuck with me was stuff that was so deeply ingrained in who I was now that I didn't consciously do anything.
Right.
Which is how
you
it has to be.
You were a new guy.
I was a new guy.
Yeah.
I really was a new guy. So you're going to have to really be a new guy.
Yes.
So while you're going through the process of becoming that man, if you run into her, it's not really going to work, you know? Like, you'll probably be this... It's like cracking open a cocoon and pulling out this half, you know, caterpillar-butterfly hybrid thing. Do you know that there's something called imagination cells? Imagine cells, I think is what it's called.
Actual neurons?
This is a really weird thing. So whenever a caterpillar goes into a cocoon,
mm-hmm.
I used to think that it grows wings and changes shape, but it doesn't. The whole caterpillar turns into a soup.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. It just, all of the cells break down into a soup and then reform into a butterfly. I did not know that.
So it doesn't even have the same brain or parts or anything?
Nope. I mean, it's got the same cells, but that's it.
That's so random.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
That's awesome.
So if you crack it open in the middle of the process, what actually comes out is just a bunch of goop. And then it doesn't turn into anything. You know what I mean?
Are those like stem cells?
I have no idea. I don't know.
That's
but you can
crazy.
Look it up. It's a really weird phenomenon. I had no idea that was the case, you know? Probably like a few months ago I figured this out. Kelsey was one who found out about it, you know? I think they're called imagine cells or imagine something like that. And then that soup is called something, too. I forgot what it's called as well. But a really interesting concept, you know? And to think that that's possible, that caterpillar has to go in and it knows it's dying. It dies, you know?
Yeah.
That's the weird thing, is that it dies and then a butterfly is born. We always think that it's like, oh, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, you know? But not really. Not without dying. And then a butterfly is created from those cells. That's a really weird thing, you know?
Yeah.
So if you look at your own development that way, it's kind of how it is, you know? you crack, if you're cracked open during this process, all that's there is soup, you know? This, like, weird, you know, nothingness almost, where it's everything's being formed, and so you gotta wait till you're ready, and then you come out. As soon as you come out, though, it's like, you won't, it's like a caterpillar wondering how it's going to learn how to fly, you know? It's
right.
Like, how do I learn how to fly? Well, you have to go through the process. When you come out, though, you'll know how to fly because you'll have wings and you'll figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you come out of the cocoon here, it will you'll naturally know exactly what to do. You'll have a girl will just pop up, dude. It'll just happen, you know?
Yeah.
And if she doesn't pop up, you're still in the cocoon.
Right.
That's how you can tell, you know?
Question.
I like
that. You basically spent 8 years and then you met Kelsey. You went on to a transformation. Hadn't she changed as well? I mean,
she had, yeah. I didn't know what was going to happen there. But I, as far as I knew, that was one of the ways that was easy for me to let her go, because I was like, she's pretty and very nice, and she's got something really special about her that I could see that like made her totally different than every other woman I met. Every woman I compared her to during that process, no woman won. Kelsey always won, every single time. And I was like, man, this is really difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, that was based on when you first met her, right? I mean, after 8 years, she was probably a different woman.
You have to remember that whenever I met her, I was like in the middle of my studying Zen.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any bullshit to filter anything through. I saw her for really, like, what was really deep, deep, deep down inside of her.
Okay, the core.
Yeah, the core was still there. I don't know what it was about her, but it was still there. And I liked it. Regardless of what was going on, I was probably going to like it. But I had to imagine that I wouldn't, though. I had to imagine that I probably should meet someone totally different. We wouldn't even like each other. And that's very likely, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's likely that we wouldn't be interested in each other at that point, you know? That I wouldn't be interested in her. Like, all those things were very likely.
Yeah.
So I had to let her go. That's one of the reasons why I had to, because logically I couldn't sit there and call myself a logical person and still be on this mission, you know? So I had to let her go totally. And then, I don't know, it just worked. You're right, it's so totally improbable that would happen. Like, she went through a totally different experience. She wasn't awake when I met her. I was totally asleep too, though. I went back to the pits of hell to find her, and I got her, you know? And then it was, this whole journey since then has been us rising from the ashes, basically, together instead of separate. I mean, we're totally separate still. Like, we are separate people. And, I don't own anything, including relationships. So, Kelsey's not my girlfriend, you know? It's a really weird thing. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, for all conversation's sake, I have to say that, because what else am I going to say? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I can actually explain that concept if you want to think.
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Okay, so thought experiment, aliens from space, all social relationships are a container that we create ourselves. The only thing that has sort of any objective truth to it is children, because you can test for that genetically. The example I use is a classmate in North America versus a classmate in China. Classmate in North America might be just some douchebag you had English class with, right, you don't give a fuck about. Classmate in China, it's your classmate. Like, there's a whole different social construction around it. And with North America, the whole container, girlfriend is just a container for whatever you put into it. And there's things like with friend, now there's like friends with benefits. Even the word friend is getting diluted partially because of Facebook. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And under any scrutiny, really, any container is fake.
It's
all a lie. It's just something you make up so that you can put people in a certain
area. It's convenient shorthand.
Yeah, it is. It's very convenient, but the truth is that convenience just leads to, just using convenience leads to you living in a fantasy world, because you are searching for convenience the whole time and not looking at the reality, which is everything but convenient, you know? So it's a very strange thing now. I had to basically go back, spend 8 years finding her, go back and get her, spend 2 years with her, and now lose her again. You know, because I have to lose the container that is that would normally attach someone to you. That's why I don't have any friends. Do you understand?
Because
I don't have a container that is friend. That
I mean, the concept of friend.
Yeah, I don't have that. Yeah.
I mean, what would be interesting is, you know, you said, I think I recall you reading your book somewhere. You met her again in Costa Rica, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was she also in search of her inner self or new self or
no.
Want this trip?
Nope. You know? I didn't know what was going to happen, too. I knew I was going to have to go back on that journey again, so I thought...
Yeah, but you did not go to Costa Rica thinking you were going to be here.
No, definitely not. I actually went to Costa Rica to write to talk to my business partner about producing the Dow of Badass, which is totally funny, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't... No, when I got to Costa Rica, she happened to be there. She was in New Zealand before that. She on a whim moved to Costa Rica and didn't tell anybody, and I was going to Costa Rica on a whim and didn't tell anybody either. So no one knew that either of us were in Costa Rica. Her family probably knew about her, but my family didn't even know about me going to Costa Rica. I don't tell them stuff like that. I just kind of go places, you know. I'm losing the original question now that you had.
If she had completely changed when you met her the second time, because I guess during the process, she as a person, as an individual.
Oh yeah, you were asking about her, if she was on that spiritual path.
Yeah, exactly.
No, she definitely was not on that path. She was wandering around in limbo, just doing nothing.
Just doing nothing.
Yeah, so even meeting her again and even dating her again didn't mean it was over, and I was like, oh, I win, you know? It's not like that. I was like, okay, well, now I'm here, but is she going to... I have to leave. I have to lose this like girlfriend container again, and I have to go back on my journey. So I was like, I had a very crucial conversation with her. Where I was like, you're either coming with me or you're not, and you can say you're coming with me all day, but until you're there, coming with me, you know, on your own, going in the same place that I'm going, I'm just going to, either I'll see you there or you won't be there when I get there. That's kind of how it is, you know? So I had to be willing to let her go again. You know, that was one of my greatest fears, was losing her again after all that time. So I had to face that, you know? It's not the kind of thing where you can anticipate what's going to be happening and then learn about it. Like, whatever the hardest shit is in your life for you to let go, you have to let go.